Amen. Beautiful song. Thank you so much. Perry Hobson has asked that we pray for his sister's family. This is Phil and Bernice Cummings' family, and apparently their family was in a car accident, and I understand a young person was killed in that accident. And is that true, Perry? Is that?
Yeah, he was 20 years old.
Oh, 20-year-old, okay. The rest of the family is in the hospital then, critical condition. All right, so Phil and Bernice Cummings' family, if you would remember that. Perry would appreciate that, all right? Very good. Well, the passage here is a passage I was telling Tim. I don't believe I've ever preached from this passage before, but something just really jumped out at me, and that is this man Apollos, who, by the way, became a great Christian and a great preacher, and But it all starts right in here, and we see his growth in the Lord. We see how he grew in the Lord, how he became used mightily by the Lord. And I love this passage. The title of the message is simply The Way of God. And I get that from verse 26, where it talks about he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. Now, these are people in the church. These are folks that have been saved for a long time, but they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here's this preacher. The Bible talks about him being an eloquent man. He's a good speaker. He's mighty in the scriptures, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord. But he goes out, he preaches, and then this couple gets with him, and they serve him a T-bone steak. That's in the Greek. But they fellowship with him, and they expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. And I want to talk to you about the way of God. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and please speak to our hearts today and give us what we need from your word. And I pray that we would be excited about your way, about the way of God, that we would want that more and more for our lives. And instead of how so many, it's less and less. And we are leaning so much on the way of man today in Christianity and in so many lives. And Father, help us to realize that to do anything for you, we're going to have to learn more of the way of God and learn it more perfectly. So help us to do that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 24, of course, Apollos, he's an eloquent man. He knows how to speak. He did very well in speech class, and he passed his speech classes and all that. He's mighty, the Bible says. He knows the scripture. He's able to teach. He knows the scripture. He's mighty in the scriptures. He can teach the scriptures. And so he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He's been taught. He knows the way of the Lord. I'm sure he's obviously saved, and he's learned that and everything. And then the Bible says he's fervent in spirit, and he spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there was something knowing only the baptism of John. He didn't know all he needed to know, and there's still a lot for him to learn. And let me just say, there's a lot for all of us to learn too. There's a lot we need to learn. You and I have not arrived. Nobody here has. We have some folks that have been around a long time. We have some folks that have been saved a long time, and yet we have a lot to learn, and as Apollos did. But I love this. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, they hear him, and says when they had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And I want to see that DVD when I get to heaven. What an exciting thing that had to be as this couple explains, they expound the way of God more perfectly. And Apollos is growing, and he's growing in the Lord, and he's growing in a way that God can use him in a greater way. Don't ever think you can't keep growing. Don't ever get the idea that you're done growing in the Lord. There is so much more for us to learn. And it says that he goes to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Why would they write exhorting the disciples? Well, because this guy has something to say. He can help you. He can be a blessing. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And he's used in a great, great, great way. And why? Because he chose the way of God, and somebody sat down and explained to him. Somebody expounded. Now, the way of God, that's my last point. I just have 2 points. That involves a lot of things, but somebody made it so he could grasp it. Somebody expounded the way of God so that it was practical. You know what? If what we're doing is not for today, why in the world would we do it? If what we're doing, if what we do in our junior churches and in our Sunday school classes, if it's not practical to change my life today, if it's not practical for me to use now, then why would we do it? We don't do it for tradition's sake. We don't do it for all the looks and everything else and appearance of religion. We're not interested in that. We want God to change our lives, and the only way He changes our lives is we follow the way of God in every aspect of our lives. We're not just religious to be religious. We're not just religious so we can have stained glass windows. We're not just religious so we can have chandeliers. We're not having a missions conference next week just so we can say we had a missions conference. No, folks. We want to see something happen, and the only way something happens is to do it God's way. It isn't going to happen any other way. And so you say, well, you just said you only have 2 points. That's because there's only 2 ways. There's not all these different ways. There's just 2 ways. There's the way of God. That is the way that according to the Bible, Apollos had expounded to him, you know, very, very clearly, the way of God. It's expounded to him, and then there's all the other ways. You know, there's the way of God, and then there's the way of man. There's the way of God, and then there's all the cults. You can just line them up. There's multitudes of cults. That's the way of man. There's multitudes of sects, S-E-C-T-S. There's all kinds of them out there. All over our land, there are so many different kinds of cults and sects and organizations. The liberals, that's the way of man. It's man-made religion. There's the government religion of other nations, and not far, it's a way of man. There's atheism, that's the way of man. The fool, the Bible says, has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the way of man. And so you can lump all those together into the way of man versus the way of God. Apollos had to, he's a fiery preacher. He's eloquent in his speech, and he's mighty, the Bible says in the scriptures, and he's instructed in the way of the Lord, and so he's gone to some classes, but he has to find out, hey, the way of God, that's the way to go. And he has to be convinced, because he's going to go convince other people. By the way, you'll never convince this world about the way of God until you yourself are convinced. Now, I want to talk to you, first of all, about the way of man. The way of man that is so popular today. The way of man that, sad to say, so many Christians are gravitating back toward. The way of man. The way of man. Several things the Bible does say about the way of man. Of course, first of all, let's know this. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And there are so many verses. We cannot cover every verse in dealing with this. It is such a broad subject because it is a broad way. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, familiar verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. By the way, that is not politically correct, I can assure you. The day is coming that will be hate speech right there. You're telling me I went astray? I'm not telling you that. The Bible tells you that, but since I'm repeating the Bible, yes, I am. All we like sheep, all we. That's not talking about any particular race. It's just a sheep race. All right? It's not talking about any particular group of people. It is the group of all people. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There it is, the way of man. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, talking about Jesus. All we like sheep. It's an astray way. That's the way. Astray. We have all gone away from God. We have all gone away from the things of God. Girls, put away the phone, please. All right, it's preaching time. All right, well, don't play with it. Listen to me, all right? It'll help you. We have turned from his way, and we've gone our own way. By the way, that's why Jesus died on the cross, because we went our own way, and because we went our own way, we plunged the human race into sin and destined humanity to hell. Every one of us is destined for hell. Jesus had to die on the cross. Here's the thing about sheep. They think they're smart. They think they got it all figured out. That's man. You know? When God said, all we like sheep have gone astray, he knew exactly. I mean, he knows us. He made us. He watched us. He knows what's in our hearts. And we think we're smart, but we're not. A sheep, you know, they are so dumb. And when you talk, you know, a sheep, well, they can be fooled by the wolf. They can walk right off of a cliff. You know what I mean? A sheep can do, it's unbelievable. And when God portrayed us like a sheep, he got it right. Man, the way of man is the astrayed way. It is going away from the things of God. What's that mean? Let me just give you some things real quick. And I just wrote down some things. First of all, it is a duplicated way. Matthew 7, verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. It is duplicated from age to age, generation to generation. It is a duplicated way. Matthew 7 and verse 13. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And what's it say? And many there be which go in thereat. Many. It is duplicated. So many have gone this way. It is a broad way. It is wide, because there's so many who just follow like sheep to the slaughter. They just follow and follow the crowd. That's popular today. I hear it all the time. It's amazing how many Christians I've heard recently say, well, everybody's doing. Since when has that made anything right? At the Tower of Babel, it would have been, hey, everybody is helping build this tower to reach to heaven, to pull God off his throne. Everybody's involved. Well, since when does that make it right? In Noah's day, it would have been, hey, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing their thing. Everybody is, get on the ark, you got to be kidding. We've got our party to go to. Get on the ark, you got to be kidding. We've got our fun, we've got our drinking, we've got our drugs, we've got our sex, we got all this stuff. You got to be kidding me. Why would we want to do everybody? Listen to me, just because everybody's doing it has never been reason to do it. But you have to understand, it's a duplicated way. The way of man is always, it's one clone after the other. It's a sheep becoming like a sheep and acting like a sheep and acting like a sheep and acting like a sheep. You know? And what is it? It's just us doing our own thing. Okay, folks, we need guidance from this book right here. The way of God. When you start talking about the way of God, you're talking about this book right here. You're not talking about what a man may think. You're not talking about what you may feel. We're not talking about what seems to float your boat. We're talking about, what does God say? What is the truth of the Word of God? And you know what's sad about this duplicated way is people are following people. And children are following parents. And this way of man, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And the way just gets broader and broader and broader. That's why the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. And it just keeps enlarging itself. You know, because so many, because one follows the other. and we see the sheep over here. And by the way, we watch them plunge off into hell. And we say, okay, well, I'm just going to do what they did. And the world just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Why? Because it's really our own way. The way of man, it's a duplicated way. Then it's a deceptive way. Proverbs 16:25, use this verse all the time. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right. It seems right. It's a deceptive way because it seems right. Hey, you know, work salvation seems right. Talk about it all the time. It just seems like the right thing, okay, that you work your way. Okay, you have to do enough good things in order to get to heaven. You'll hear it all the time. You go to the average funeral and you'll hear, he was a good man, and now he's in heaven. But being a good man never got anybody to heaven. It never has. It never will. Men do not go to heaven because they're good. They go to heaven because they trusted Jesus as their Savior. And yet the deception, the deceptiveness of this way is, well, as long as I'm doing good, as long as I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, and they don't even know one of the Ten Commandments. You know, they just feel like, well, I'm just a good, I don't murder anybody. I've never murdered anyone, and I've never done this. I've never done, they can name all kinds of things. The truth of the matter is, in this deception of there is a way that seemeth right, man conjures up the absolute of what is right. And doesn't even consider what God says is right. What's God say is right? Holy. That's right. Holy. God says, all have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. But you know what? If I can just come up with the absolute of what is right, okay, well, I haven't murdered anybody, so I'm a pretty good person. I have never murdered one person, so that makes me a good person. You have to understand, that is the deception that has man so puzzled. When you go soul winning, that is a deception that when you say, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned, and somebody gets mad and says, you know, I reject that. I don't believe that. I don't like that. I'm a good person. My daddy was good. His daddy was good. And we come from a line of good people. And, you know, we're such and such religion. We come from this religion, and we're good people. You see, Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And we can pretty much justify everything we do. Do you know that murderers will many times justify what they did? People commit adultery, they justify. You know, everybody can justify pretty much anything they do in their own eyes to the point where we convince ourselves, hey, I'm okay. It's all right. What we do is we basically make our God, small g, whatever we want him to be. That's the way of man. It is a deceptive way. It's words like this. It's many paths will lead you to God. You people are too narrow-minded, and yet my Bible says that it is a narrow way. Jesus said, I am the way. He doesn't make allowance for any other way. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I and Muhammad. He didn't say that, did he? Yeah, see, that's the thing. Well, yeah, but preacher, you know, people ought to just kind of feel good. Yeah, but it's not about feeling good. Nobody's going to feel good in hell. Do you understand that? And we don't say all this because, hey, we're right, nobody else is. No, we should be saying all this, and we should feel this in our hearts because we know the truth, and they don't, and they need the truth. Because there was a day I didn't know the truth either. But you have to understand that the way of man is always going to be a deceptive way. There's many ways to God. Just do good. Be broad-minded. We're hearing that all the time. No religion is wrong. Hear it all the time. You read it in the paper. I mean, you hear about it, and it all sounds so good, but all it does is it gives man a pillow to prop him up and feel a little more comfortable. You know, the Bible does tell us right from wrong. The Bible does describe black and white. The Bible does show there is no gray area, especially in the area of salvation. There is no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. Again, I didn't write that. And it's not something for us to brag about. It's not anything to gloat about. It's not, we're right, you're not. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with, we have the truth. The truth set us free. It'll set them free too, and we need to get it to them. That's what our missions conference is all about. If you think it's about anything else, you're wrong. It's about getting the truth out to the rest of the world. That's what it's all about. You know, again, because there's so much deception. And the way of man is a deceptive way. It is a duplicated way. It is a deceptive way. Proverbs 13:15, very, very clearly, it is a difficult way. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Never have understood why Christians would want to gravitate back. But ever since the children of Israel, man has done it. Hey, we got out of Egypt. Hallelujah. 2 days later, we want to go back. Never, you know, again, it is how we are. It is the way of man. Well, we miss the garlics. We miss the leeks. We miss the melons. You'd rather put on the handcuffs again? So you could eat garlic and leek and melon? Yeah, because we do. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The Bible says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his... That isn't it. Proverbs, that's 14, 15, 13. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's a difficult way. Ask the drug addict how difficult it is. Ask the alcoholic how difficult it is. It's a hard, hard way. Oh, is it hard? I counsel folks I have over the years, and sin is, it's a hard way. There is nothing. Oh, I'm going to have fun. And they sit and tell me about their fun. And I say, listen to me, it is not always going to be fun. You are headed for a rocky road. It's a hard way. Ask a person in jail. It's a hard way. Person in prison. It's a hard way. And you know, you go to jail and you counsel people, or you go to prison, you preach to people and you talk to them, you find they chose their way. And it was all the way of man. And reaping what is sown is one of the... It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. We all experience it. I mean, come on, when you were a little child and you're you know, the hot... the pot of boiling water was on the stove and you started to touch it and your mom said, no, no, do not touch. And you decided to go ahead and do it anyway. Remember? You know? And you're screaming, you know. They told you to stay out of the poison ivy. Pretty, pretty, pretty. Remember? Do you remember? Yeah, and so what did we learn? Nothing. Because we go ahead and do it anyway. And we keep doing it in life. Somebody says don't, and we do. Somebody says do, and we don't. Huh? And we just keep doing it and keep doing it. And we don't understand. It is a difficult way. Parents, understand something. You know, you better teach your kids that there is chastening. Okay? There is chastening. God doesn't call time out. Hello? You know, I mean, honestly, now, you know, I'm not saying God doesn't have some chastening that is less than other chastening, but there is chastening. There is a price that has to be paid. Always. Always. It's the way of transgressors is hard. Psalm 107:17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. It's just part of it. It's part of it. And you know, even this is so true, because even the Christian who chooses their own way, and we're seeing it all the time, instead of God's way, instead of God's will, there's misery and pain and affliction. I don't understand why it's not going. I'll tell you why it's not going the way you thought. Because you didn't choose the way of God. God has a way. You better choose that way in everything. Well, I got saved. Yeah, amen. Now you need to get baptized. Okay, amen. And now you need to get in church. That's the way of God. Now you need to start tithing. That's the way of God. And now you need to be faithful. You need to start reading your Bible. You need to pray. You need to walk with God every day. every day, every day, every, you know, I'm walking with God. This is, listen to me. He's okay. Call him your bodyguard. That's all right. Satan's after you. He's trying to ruin you. He's trying to ruin your life. Can't have your soul. Walk with God. Arm in arm. Amen. Why? He's going to take care of you. Yeah, but if I walk with God, I gotta do right. Amen. It's okay. That's okay. You see, the way of man, well, I only need to call God every now and then whenever I'm in trouble. I only need to call God whenever I see the bad guy. You know, I that's when I talk to God. Listen to me. Again, that's deception of what's in our heart. You know, the only reason you wouldn't walk with God is you're afraid you'll take God somewhere where he might not like it. He still knows. He still sees. Walk with God. The way of man, it is a deceptive way, a difficult way. It is a duplicated way. It's a dark way, Proverbs 4, verse 19. The Bible's very clear. It's a dark way. A dark way. What do you mean? Well, it's because you stumble. You don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I watch folks, you know, they'll go from one bad thing to another. It's like, don't you get it? I mean, stumbling in darkness, tripping, falling constantly, no direction, no purpose in life, like a person walking in the dark. It's a dark way. In the darkness, it's confusing. God is not the author of confusion. Wherever there's confusion, you need to stop and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, this is not God. God does not want me to be confused. God wants me to know what's going on. God wants me to see. Get your Bible out and find out. Get on your knees and find out. Because honestly, the way of man is a dark way. It is a stumbling, bumbling, no purpose, no direction. If all of a sudden your life seems to have no purpose, no direction, and everything just isn't making sense, and then you might be on that wrong way. Somewhere along the line, you better check it out, because it is the way of transgressors. It's hard, but it's dark too. In the dark, there is unknown. That brings fear. Perfect love, my Bible says, casteth out fear. The love of God, it pushes aside fear. It removes fear. And when we're in the dark, there is the unknown. Psalm 82:5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Why? They don't know. They don't understand. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. Listen to me. You get in your Bible, you get on your knees, you walk with God, it does make sense. Hey, our world right now, the mess that it is, it makes sense when you're walking with Him. It makes sense. Now, again, you say, I don't understand why they're doing all that, and I don't understand why things people do what they do either, but I'm going to tell you this, God said it was going to be like this. God told us in His Word, and lining up with the Word of God, it does make sense. All the wars, all the rumors of wars, all the stuff, all the lying that is going on, all the garbage and the immorality that is going on in our world, I'm telling you, God told us that's exactly how it was going to be. And to be honest with you, I can only imagine, and we're talking about this in the Revelation class, during the tribulation, you talk about dark, you talk about confusion, you talk about people not understanding. Come on, people are really, really confused in our world today. People are really not understanding. I mean, anytime you believe that we came from monkeys, you are confused. I'm talking about the intelligent people of our world today, those that have doctorates, those that are professors. You know, we came from monkeys, and to say that with a straight face, and to know what they know about the human body, and to know what they know about an ape, honestly, you know, it's a dark, dark way. Well, we can't explain. You could if you read Genesis. You could. I can explain it.
Well, you can't get down to the molecular structure.
Neither can you.
Well, you know, science, you have to duplicate.
Okay, duplicate. Where's the crossover? Duplicate it. I'm not a monkey. Hello? Neither are you. Now, I've seen some folks that do resemble it. Well, anyway, but folks, it's so dark. Come on. The way of man, it's so confusing. It is, you know, man is the measure of all things. Look at man. What? That's why we have prisons. That's why we have jails. Man is the measure of all things. I mean, at least a wild animal, they kill to eat. We kill just because we don't like something somebody does. We kill because somebody told us to do something. We're not going to do it. We kill because they got in my lane. We kill because they sat in my seat. I mean, come on. It's a dark way. It really is. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And we can't say, here's the light. Here's the light. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, we're lights in this. We're supposed to be light to help guide them the way. And our little song, won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. You know, Lot, hide it under a bushel. No! You know, a lot of Christians are hiding theirs. And the lost walk on in darkness. Yeah. We're too worried about stuff that does not matter at all. It is the last thing here about the way of man, and there's many things, but it's a destructive way. That's how it leads to, what it leads to. Romans 3, look at it here real quick. Romans 3 and verse 16. Romans 3, 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's our world, because there are so many that are going that way. Do you see it? Destruction and misery. Homes destroyed. Misery in life. Suicide. Taking people hostage to hope the police will kill you, to put you out of your misery. The way of peace have they not known? I was talking about this in the little funeral service yesterday for Erna. And the last time my wife and I were with her a week ago, we walked in. She went, "Oh, happy day!" And her face lit up, just the brightest look and smile. And we started talking about Jesus, and she has memory that it's just 98 years old, and I think she remembers every year. Honestly, it amazed me. And we're talking; she's just so happy and everything. And you know, here she is in a nursing home. Here she is with whatever the condition was that she didn't even know, and they were testing and everything. And I took her hand to pray with her, and she laid her little face down on my hand as I prayed. Sweet peace, perfect peace. You know, and just a few days later, she'd go to heaven. The thing that everybody, you know, oh, death, I'm scared to death. She wasn't. Because God gave her perfect peace. Are you listening? It's so opposite. As I think of God destroying the earth with a flood, boy, that wasn't peace, was it? That's because of sin. When I think of God raining down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah because of the immorality there, that wasn't a pleasant thing. As I read the book of Revelation and the final, the tribulation of the 7 year, oh my. It's hard to imagine. But Psalm 49, verse 6, and I'll end this point, and the next one will go quickly. Psalm 49 and verse 6, and I hope you're writing these down. There are many, many verses that could have been used. Psalm 49, 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Your money can't buy you salvation. You can't buy anybody else's salvation. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. And that is the way of man. Because no matter how much you have, no matter what you do, no matter how much fame, trophies you have on your mantle, whatever, if you die without Jesus, you burn in hell. It's foolish, isn't it? Foolish. But I've got millions of dollars. And the rich man in Luke 16, the Bible says, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. I am tormented in this flame. Well, you're rich. Can you buy yourself out of it? When he could not only buy himself out of it, he couldn't even buy one drop of water in hell. Why would Christians want anything to do with the way of man? Hard to understand. Number one, the way of man. Number two, the way of God. That's what Apollos had to learn. That's what God made sure somebody taught him. That's what God... Here's a man, he knew the scriptures. Here's a man, he was eloquent in speech. Here's a man that got up and preached and was used, certainly. But here's a man that needed exactly what God led him to receive. It can be received in so many ways, but they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos, we need you to grow, and you need to grow, and you need to understand this more perfectly, because it won't be easy to go the way of God, because the world will always try to pull you your way. The world will always, always try to pull us back to Egypt. The smells of Egypt, the sounds of Egypt, the laughter in Egypt, all of it will always have an effect on us. And so we've got to have and learn the way of God more perfectly. The way of God, what is it? Well, it's the way of salvation. Why do I have to know that? Well, because verse 28, he mightily convinced the Jews. He convinced the Jews, and that publicly. In other words, he got up in front of a bunch of Jews and said, Jesus is the Messiah. You say, well, what? You talk about a crowd? You talk about a tough crowd? Huh? Showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And he did it publicly. Yeah, he had to be convinced of the way of salvation. That's learning the way of God. You got to know. You got to know. There is no other way. This is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What about Muhammad? That's not the way. That's a false way. Oh, preacher, that's hate speech. Oh, I know, one of these days. It will be right here in the United States of America. In fact, this whole book will be hate speech. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? You better find out what you believe. You better know what you believe. You better have, listen to me, it's why we come to church and expound to you the way of God more perfectly, and we don't play around with it. We don't mess around in school. We don't mess around in our junior church. We don't mess around in Sunday school. It's the way of God. There is no other way. It's the way of salvation. There is no other way. There's no messing around. There's no being a sissy about it. It is simply, this is the way. It is the narrow way. And churches today, by far, more and more are going away from it and following back to that old thing called the way of man. Well, it's what we know. It's what we know. We don't need hard preaching. I mean, that beating on the pulpit preacher, you don't need that. We don't need that. You know, we don't mind when some athlete gets up and says a whole bunch of stuff and throws in a cuss word here and there and yells and screams and hollers. We think that's good. We'll clap. Man of God starts yelling and screaming and hollering. We say, he's a fanatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, just like man's way is a broad way, God's way is a narrow way. And the way of salvation, you better know. You better know. Erna Ford, I'm going to tell you, she knew where she was going. There was no question about it. You know what I'm so afraid of? First of all, I'm afraid there's somebody in here that's not saved. You're playing games with your soul. I'm scared to death, honestly. It terrifies me that anybody would ever walk out of Berean Baptist Church and not know they're going to heaven. And then secondly, I'm concerned that you're not really, you're not convinced about it. I mean, if you find yourself talking to somebody, someone who is, for example, a Muslim, you know, and you say, well, I'm sure you'll get to heaven too. They cannot get to heaven through Muhammad. It cannot take place. Okay, I'll get in trouble if I, I understand. But the truth is still the truth. It's still the truth. And it's not a matter of us being right and them being wrong. It's a matter of, that's what God said. The way of God is a way of salvation. And it's the only way. You cannot. Well, I went through a Mormon church ritual. That ain't going to get you to heaven. Well, I confessed to a priest the other day. That ain't going to get you to heaven either. Just like you can't confess to me and get to heaven. That ain't going to get you to heaven. You can confess all you want, but it will not get us to heaven. No, the way of God is a way of salvation, and there is no other way. Matthew 21, the way of God, it's also the way of righteousness. Matthew 21 and verse 31. Matthew 21, 31. Whether then twain did the will of his father, just preach about this, they say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. And what Jesus is saying here is, they did repent. The publicans, who were crooks, the harlots, who were immoral, they believed and repented. But you who are just as corrupt as them, but you look good on the outside, you didn't. And what's it all boiled down? It all boils down to the way of righteousness. God's way of right. What is it? Somebody says, Pastor Rogers, you are too strict. I am not even close to strict enough. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And none of us matches up, not even close. It doesn't mean that we accept that. It means we strive for that. It should be. And here, you say, who is this crowd then that he's comparing with the publicans and the harlots? You want to know who the crowd is? It's the religious crowd. Because they were hiding behind their stained glass windows and their decor and their ritual and their religion. And they didn't recognize God's way of righteousness is perfect. By the way, that's how you know you're a sinner. Because you don't match up to what God said. That's how we know we're all sinners. Good people are sinners, because there's none good. No, not one. And you know, the first step to doing right is to know wrong. Amen. I'll be honest with you. You want to plant some flowers? I would tell you, before you plant those flowers, dig everything up, and that means dig up all the weeds. And then plant your flowers. Because you plant your flowers among the weeds and you're just going to end up with dead flowers and striving, growing weeds. But you know, preaching is against the weeds. And we like our weeds. Yeah. But understand the way of God is the way of righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, honestly, our problem in our churches today, it's in so many, it's not the preaching. It's folks are coming with bloated bellies, and they're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness because they're full of the world's garbage. You say, well, you ought to be preaching this on Sunday night, but you wouldn't be here. First step to doing right is to know wrong. God's way is a way of right based on the Word of God. I close with this. The way of God is not only the way of salvation and the way of righteousness, but it's also the way of peace, as I talked about. I will never forget, my wife was there, and we both commented afterwards, never forget Erna laying her head down on my hand as I prayed. Never had anybody done that before. Luke 1, verse 79, look at it. Luke 1, 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace. I say it often, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he says, step here, turn here, go straight here, step here, walk here. And all those, as I think of it, yeah, sometimes he leads us into the rain. Sometimes he leads us right into the middle of a thunderstorm. Sometimes he leads us into some valleys. Often, he leads us and there's a trial. But in all of that, his ways are guiding our feet into the way of peace. Trials come, problems come, but God gives peace. Seems like every funeral that I'm involved in, I can always tell those who have peace and those who are very troubled. Now, again, there's everybody's sorrows. You always miss somebody who's gone on. And I'm not saying you're supposed to say hip, hip, hooray, and this is the greatest day of my life and all that. By the way, it is the greatest day of theirs if they go to heaven. But I'm just saying that you can just tell folks that you just kind of watch as you're speaking about their loved one, and they have a smile on their face, and they're not necessarily looking at you. They'll cast a look there at the casket, and then they'll kind of get that far away look. And they're seeing them at the pearly gates. We can only imagine pearly gates. Amen. And they're seeing them on the streets of gold. And they're not stooped anymore. And they're not trembling anymore. They're standing up straight and tall and breathing in heaven's air with perfect lungs and perfect body. And they always get that look and kind of a smile, and you can tell they have that peace of God, knowing that their loved one is doing very, very well, as opposed to those who are so troubled because they don't have that peace. His way, the way of God, it's a way of peace. Can you say with Job 23:11, his way have I kept and not declined? If not, Isaiah said, come, and he will teach us of his ways. Today, all I've done is exactly what Priscilla and Aquila did for Apollos. I've expounded the way of God today to try to get us all to walk that way more perfectly. It is by far, there's not even a comparison. By far, it is the best way. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here today without Christ. Thus far in your life, you've chosen the way of man. It will lead you to a place called hell if you don't get saved. I hope you'll trust Christ as Savior today. I hope you'll realize Jesus loves you. I hope you'll come and let us take a Bible and show you some verses and encourage you then to trust Christ as your Savior. If that's you today, you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Pray for me as a Christian. Thank you. Father, thank you for the Word of God that shows us the way of God, your way. Everything else is fake, it's counterfeit. In reality, it's evil. Your way is the only way. I pray that we will see it today. And not only in salvation will we choose your way, the Lord Jesus and his blood, but God, in every day of our lives, that we will hunger, will thirst after righteousness, which is your way. And you said we'd be filled. I pray that you'll speak to hearts now, as you already have, and help us make the decisions we need to make. In Jesus' name, amen.